On the sheets in front of you is a very rare or unknown source. There's a medrash that I once discussed many years ago, and people asked me, where is this medrash? They never heard of the medrash. So I'm taking you to the very source of the medrash itself. There is a sefer called the Ein Yaakov. The Ein Yaakov is a sefer that explains the agadic sections of Talmud. Yaakov ibn Chabib, we're talking about 4 centuries ago. And this is in his introduction, he brings a medrash, and we really don't know where else it may be, but this is the source that we know of. And I never did discuss what he says about the medrash, but we're going to do that. We're going to read the text, and then we're going to say a pshat that I heard from my brother about 40 years ago, Rabbi Yosef Yoel Gold, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, who was rabbi of Worcester, Massachusetts for 36 years, until his passing, possibly about 10 years ago. I've lost track already. That's the way it is. Here it is. Let's read the text. Ben Zoma Omer. Ben Zoma says, Motzinu Pasuk Kolel Yoter. We find a Pasuk that is all-encompassing and all-embracing. It's a passage of such impact, such power, such majesty. And the Pasuk is, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Hear, O Israel, God, our God, God is one. That's quite a Pasuk. That's quite a Pasuk. Jews have lived and died with the Pasuk, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Ben Nanes Omer, Ben Nanes says, Matzinu Pasuk, Kolel Yoter. We find a Pasuk that's even more, maybe powerful, more all-embracing, greater impact. Can you imagine a pasuk that has greater impact than Shema Yisrael? And what pasuk is it that Ben Nanes quotes? V'ahavta l'reacho kamocha. V'ahavta l'reacho kamocha. There are a lot of people who live by v'ahavta l'reacho kamocha. Or better said, a lot of more people should live with v'ahavta l'reacho kamocha. Boy, that would be a pretty good campaign slogan, but I don't think there's a single party that's going to say v'ahavta l'reacho kamocha. They're all saying, love us more than the rest of them, or hate the rest of them and love us. All right. V'ahavta l'reacho kamocha, boy, would go a long way toward resolving a lot of the problems that we face here in Eretz Israel today. Halavai, halavai. Shimon ben Pazi says, Motzinu Pasuk Kolel Yoter, we find a Pasuk that's even more powerful. Now you understand? To be able to find a Pasuk that is more powerful than Shema Yisrael and V'yahavta l'reacha kamocha, this really is a great accomplishment. And of all things, the Pasuk is, Et hakeves echo ta'aseh b'boker. That happens to be a pasuk in this week's Sedra, in Parashat Tetzaveh, that you shall bring the daily tamid sacrifice, a sheep in the morning and a sheep in the afternoon. That really does things to you, doesn't it? In what way does Shimon ben Pazi mean that this pasuk is more powerful, more all-encompassing, more embracing, more majestic than Shema Yisrael and V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha? I mean, this is a pretty difficult medrash to understand. And the medrash doesn't end there. After this third opinion, Amad Reploni al Raglov, an anonymous rabbi, rose to his feet in the base medrash, and he said, even stranger than all, halacha ke ben Pazi, the halacha is like ben Pazi, that the most powerful pasuk is, et hakeves echo taseh baboker, that hakeves hasheni taseh ben raboim, you should bring a korban in the morning, and a korban in the afternoon. Dechsiv, because it says, in Parshas Truma, with regard to all of the construction of the Mishkan, Keshok Kechol Asher Ani Maraotcha, everything that I show you as Tavnas HaMishkan, the form, the shape, the size, the way to make the Mishkan, that's the way you should do it. So now we have to understand what's the halacha over here, what's Reb Ploni getting up and saying, why is the halacha like Ben Tasi? And this is a medrash that just, there are so many question marks about it, and we have to deal with it. So let's hear first what the Ein Yaakov says, and then we'll go further. V'royel hazkir yisod shoresh machloket gimbul tanoim ha'ele, says that we have to get down to the fundamental principles that these three tanoim disagree with. What are they disagreeing about? Ben Zoma said Shema Yisrael, Ben Nanis said V'haftar Echo Kamocha, Ben Pazi said Etakemes Echo Tasa Baboka. So there's a three-way difference of opinion over here. Vanir al derech pshat, says it seems to me according to the pshat, Kisvoras Ben Zoma sheikur gadol betoro yateid shehakol taluvoy. A fundamental principle of Torah, something so fundamental that everything depends on it, is yediat heemuniyot hatoraniyot hanirmazot bepasuk Shema Yisrael. The fundamental beliefs, the dogma, the faith declaration of Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael says a great deal more than just Hear, O Israel. It's saying that God, our God, that God is absolute unity. He alone is one. He is king of the world. In the Shemone Esrei of Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, we're supposed to say four psukim of Malchiyot, that God is king, from Torah. And there are only three psukim in Torah where it says that God is king. Hashem yimloch la'olam va'ed in Parshas Bishalach. Hashem lekov imo utruat melech bo in Parshas Balak. And vayihi biyishudun melech v'is'aseif rosh hayom yachad shiftei Yisrael, which is in Parshas Zot HaBracha. I got a little scared for a moment that I might forget one of them. We made our way through this. So the Gemara asks, but we need a fourth pasuk that God is king. Where is the fourth pasuk? So the Gemara says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. When you say that God is one and the only unity of all, it means that He is the creator of the world. He brought it into being, and He remains king and rules over the whole world. So Shema Yisrael is an extremely important principle. All of Torah depends on that. If God forbid there is no Shema Yisrael, then it's all over. It's all over. There's nothing to talk about. There's no Yiddishkeit. Children who are raised not to know the pasuk Shema Yisrael and what it means, I mean, don't stand a chance. They don't stand a chance. You will recall, of course, how important it is that last week we said that the Dalid of Echad has to be a big Dalid, so that we don't make the mistake of reading it as a Reish. Alright, so therefore we understand Ben Zoma, who says Shema Yisrael, extremely important principle. Usvoras Ben Nanas, who says that the great pasuk is V'ahavta Le'echa Kamocha, Ki Be'erech El Klal HaHamon Hu Iker Gadol, when you're talking to the masses of people, not the great intellectual elite who are able to plumb the depths philosophically, theologically, ontologically, the meaning of Shema Yisrael. But when it comes down to Amcha out there, well, what is it that is of greatest importance to them? So it says, the Iker Gadol, the Yoter Kolel Asot Mishpat Ve'avat Chesed. This is the great principle that people, societies have to live by. Doing justice, loving kindness, Ben Ish L'Chavedo, between men and fellow men, Asher Zeh Nirmaz V'Posit V'Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha. This is what the Pasuk after Reacha Kamoga is talking about. In other words, the Pasuk Shema Yisrael regulates the relationship between man and God. The Pasuk after Reacha Kamoga is that which describes the relationship that should exist between man and fellow man. And of course, Shekain Kodol Hillel, everybody knows the story, that which happened to Hillel, the non-Jew who wants to learn all of Torah as he stands on one leg, and Hillel tells him, what is hateful to you, don't do to your friend. That's all of Torah. The rest is commentary. Go study. So in a sense, Hillel is telling him, this is it. This is a pillar of all of Yahadut. That's what Hillel said. When a non-Jew came, an idolater, and said to him, Gayereni, make me I want to convert al menatsh tlamed li al Torah regal achas, on condition that you teach me Torah while I stand on one foot, v'yomalo. And Hillel told him, v'yohafta l'reacho kamoha. The fact is, that's not really so. Hillel didn't tell him, v'yohafta l'reacho kamoha. Hillel told him an Aramaic term, which I think is far, far different than v'yahavta l'reacha kamocha. What he told that non-Jew, the Gentile who wants to convert, he told him an Aramaic sentence, Mada aloch sani, what is hateful to you, lo tavid l'chavre, don't do it to your friend. Now v'yahavta l'reacha kamocha is very beautiful. A very beautiful thing. I think what Hillel was saying was sharp, stinging, biting. It was an assault on this fellow who expects Hillel, so to speak, to teach him Torah while he stands on one leg. He's saying, what's hateful to you, don't do to anybody else. I'd once explained this as meaning, somebody would tell me that, I'd be ready to sock them, or I would sock them. And I'd hope he'd be standing on one leg, as if it fallen into brechen hand and fees. Do you understand the nerve? You tell me something that's hateful to me, I shouldn't do to anybody else? The chutzpah! The unmitigated nerve! How does it even occur to you for a moment that I would do to somebody else what's hateful to me? Can you imagine that? That's not something to get upset about? You're not upset? Don't do to somebody else what's hateful to you. You should be upset. What do you mean? How could it even occur to you for a moment that I would do something like that? You know what Hillel is saying? Unfortunately, human beings are capable of precisely that. We can justify the worst evil. We're able to, something that I wouldn't like anybody to do to me, boy, can I do it to somebody else. Think about it. Oh, are we eminently capable of doing precisely that? And Hillel is telling this candidate for conversion, that you had better clean up your act first, and you had better look deeply into yourself and see to what extent are you eminently capable. You want somebody not to talk Lashon Hara about you? Tell me. You get upset when you find out that Reuven said to Shimon that you're a gangster? How many times have you said about Reuven and Shimon that they're gangsters? And you didn't blink an eyelash. Ah, but it's me. It's me. What are you talking about? Then you're full of indignation. Oh, boy. Human beings are capable. I do love human beings. I love some human beings. Sometimes it's difficult to love them all. But that's the way it is. That's what human beings are like. Nobody in Tel Aviv would want to be moved out of their homes. Oh, no. But you can throw people to the dogs. Maybe I'm still reacting to page 5 in the Jerusalem Post this morning. A consensus. The settlements are not important for the safety and security of the state of Israel. That's the consensus. We don't need them. You know what? I'll tell you something else. Tel Aviv is not necessary for the security of the state of Israel. I think we should give up. Give it away. We can't. Our Tzahal can't protect the rest of Israel without Tel Aviv. So what? Of course we can. What does that mean? Something is ours only because it protects us. There's no Kedushas Haaretz. I'll tell you the truth. I'm not so sure to what extent Muncie is necessary for the I'm sorry, I said Muncie. Washington Heights. I don't know, I'd like to use some place where nobody lives. Omaha, Nebraska. Well, there's somebody here from Omaha. Omaha, Nebraska is unimportant and insignificant for the protection of the mighty superpower of the day. Give it to Al-Qaeda. Okay. Nachash mentioned, what's going on? Now, how did I get to this? Of course I got to it. Because Hillel said, what is hateful to you, don't do it to anybody else. And you can find all sorts of justifications. When you do it to me, it's evil. When I do it to somebody else, this is such a noble act on behalf of peace, the great gesture. I can't help it. I can't help it. We're living through very difficult times. I'm sorry. And I'm not yet in the poorer mood. All right? I'm not in the poorer mood yet. Something, I don't know. I'm sure if I listen to the... which I hope not to do, listen to the, what do you call them, the political jingles, the advertisements, I'll most probably either laugh or cry. The Bentazi, Digdei Baseyoter. Bentazi went even further. V'roki amaisim tovim nechlokin lishnei Minim, all good deeds fall into one of two categories. One is Beinon al-Chavir between man and fellow man, like Yohafter Achamocha. The second is between man and God, like Maisa HaKobonos, the sacrifices in the Bet HaMikdash. Ulize yicheid posik es hakeves echad, ki hu Maisa HaKobonos lavodato yid barach. And therefore, he brings the posik at hakeves echad, which talks about the sacrifices in the Mishkan and the Bet HaMikdash, you'll see right away, and therefore Nikva Halochi Ben Pasi, the Halochi like Ben Pasi, Lefishu Mekabetz Mailos Hadeos Amitios Umailos Masa Hatov. Because in his Pasik is the one that includes service of God and sacrifice, watch, and therefore, the proof is on the pasuk Kechol Asher Mareh Otcha, Tavnit HaMishkan, everything that I show you, how to build the Mishkan, Ki Maisa HaMishkan, Shersho, the act of constructing the Mishkan and the Bet HaMikdash at its very root, it is something that exists on the intellectual plane of faith, Dover Iyuni Emuni, something that takes intellect and faith. V'tzivan, it says, v'chein tasu, so you should do. Faith is not enough, you also have to do. Shehamaisa v'ho'iyun yunikshorim yachad, that which man does and that which he thinks, both of them should be joined together. V'ayta kavanat, now, he is saying all of this on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Shimon HaTzadik said, al shlosha devarim ha'olam omeid, ala Torah, so he says these three psukim represent those three. V'ahavta le'acha kamocha is gemilus chasadim. Torah is Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Achad. Avoda is the korbanot, the sacrifices. That's the text. That's the text of the introduction to the Ein Yaakov. My brother Olav Ashtonet said the following. When we read this message, what we have to ask ourselves is, what was on the agenda in the Beis Medrash that day? What was happening? What was the question that was asked? What were they looking for? Were they having some kind of a strange Bible contest? Mirror, mirror on the wall, which is the greatest pasuk of them all? Is that what happened that morning? How did all of this begin? Why did a Ploni, why an anonymous rabbi that rises to his feet and says the halacha is like Ben Pazi? What halacha are we talking about over here? So my brother said the following. The agenda that was placed on the table of the Beis Medrash that day was most probably one of the most important questions that can ever be placed on the agenda of the Beis Medrash. For that matter, the fact is that this is a question that is placed on the agenda of every gathering of Jewish leadership, young, old, middle-aged, presidiums and conclaves and colloquiums and conferences and conventions and task forces. They all know the answer, but they don't want to accept the answer. The question is, how are we going to guarantee that our grandchildren are going to be Jewish? Is there something we can do? Is there something we can do to make certain that our children and our grandchildren are going to be Jewish? Isn't that a problem that goes to the very core and the heart of the Jewish people today? With the mass departure of Jews from the fold, gone. That was the shaila that day. How are we going to do it? What should we teach them? What message do we have to get across? And if we get that message across, then we can feel that we've done our job. We've given them the wherewithal, the means, the ability to cope with the world out there, and that they will ultimately be able to survive and transmit it to their children and their grandchildren. That's quite a question. Ben Zoba gets up and says, you have to take your children and you have to hammer away at Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. They have to know with every fiber of their being that there is a God who created us. That God is our God. He has communicated with us. That's the beginning of all Yirat Shemayim, fear of God. You have to have that. If you don't have that, there's simply nothing. There's nothing there. It will all disappear. You'll teach them a few Hebrew poems, and you'll teach them a novel by Amos Oz or David Grossman, Von Demet, Kumana, Afrona Yid. That's going to remain by them. What will that do? What you have to do is teach them Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That's the pasuk. That's the idea. Get that into their neshamas. Oh boy, you can be sure your grandchildren are going to be Jewish. Ben Nanis says, it's true, Shema Yisrael is significant, it's important, it's the basis and the fundamental principle upon which all of Yahadut rest. But it's not enough. Because Shema Yisrael is an idea. It's a thought. It's a belief. It's a feeling. It's an intellectual achievement. All of these thoughts and ideas, great, great thoughts, will peter away. They're going to disappear. Unless you're able to take them and make them concrete. They have to become the basis
of all action. You have to give them life. You have to take this abstract concept of Shema Yisrael and you have to bring it down to the world in which we live. It has to become real. You have to give it flesh and blood. You know how you give it flesh and blood? Do you know how you make it, give it substance, so that it's not merely an idea that comes and goes? If Shema Yisrael becomes that which governs my relationship with my fellow man, because I see every human being as being created by God and in His image, and that there's a spark of divinity or a great deal more than a spark of divinity in every human being, and the Shema Yisrael becomes that which day in and day out guides my relationship with fellow men under the umbrella of Yahavta L'Reyacha Kamocha, and make no mistake, there cannot truly be the Yahavta L'Reyacha Kamocha without belief in God. All of those who want to tell you that there is a chilonious, secular morality devoid of God, it's not true. And if it does exist, it may exist for a half a generation, a quarter of a generation, and then it disappears. Without Yirat Shemayim, Chak Ein Yirat Elokim B'Makom Hazeh, without Yirat Shemayim, there will never be a true relationship of Yahavta L'Reyacha Kamocha. If anything, you know what you're going to have? You're going to have most probably the most crooked and sick kind of Yahavta L'Reyacha Kamocha. Where Re'acha becomes the Hamasnik and a Fumayid, you wouldn't even look at him. Machsom Watch becomes the Haftol Re'acha Kamocha. My Chaver Abu Babu Shmabu. That's not the way it works. The Haftol loving a human being begins at home. Begins at home. If it's not going to grow at home, within your own community, it's meaningless. It begins with wife and with children, fellow Jews, the guys you daven with every day in the smedresh, you understand. If it doesn't exist there, it's meaningless. You're not going to be able to love the poor Palestinian, you understand, who cut down his own cherry tree and blamed it on us. Doesn't work. The Yahavta L'Reyacha Kamocha has to be based on Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael alone is not enough. Shema Yisrael has to be translated into the real world, the world of action. The way we deal every day with fellow human beings, the Yahavta L'Reyacha Kamocha has to be fueled by Shema Yisrael. Along comes Reb Shimon ben Pasi. Oy, what brilliance Reb Shimon ben Pasi is. Reb Shimon ben Pasi says, there's no question about it, Shema Yisrael. What are you talking about, Shema Yisrael? Shema Yisrael is unbelievable. It's the pinnacle, the great expression. Jews went to their death saying Shema Yisrael. What greatness. What a great people we are. If you have to Re'acha Kamocha, nobody said it like us. And everybody who said it afterwards was just mimicking us. It came from Torah. The Rabbeinu Shem said it. You have to Re'acha Kamocha. But Rav Shimon ben Pasi says the following. Any great idea, any great slogan is only going to last if you can teach your children to be ready to sacrifice, to give something up for it. The whole idea of Mishkan was to bring korbanos. In our contemporary idiom, bringing korbanos means I'm ready to let it cost me. I'm ready that it should mean my time, my effort, and my energy. If I believe in Shema Yisrael, if you have to L'Reyacha Kamocha, but I'm not ready to put myself out for anybody else, forget it. If I haven't learned the secret of commitment, which is, yeah, it's going to cost me money, it'll cost me money. It's going to cost me time, a chesed, it'll cost me time. If doing a favor for a fellow human being, a fellow Jew, is going to mean, who knows what kind of effort is going to have to be expended. No, I'm tired now, but no, I'm going out to help somebody. If you don't learn the secret of sacrifice, Shema Yisrael and V'yavta L'Racha Kamocha will disappear into nothingness. Long comes Amad Rab Ploni Al Kalko of the whole Beis Medrash. The Beis Medrash must have been jammed from one end to the next. Here's the most important discussion of all that's taking place that day, the Beis Medrash. How are we going to preserve Jewish identity and the Jewish people into eternity? Rav Ploni gets up and he expresses the feelings of everybody present. And here I want you to see my take on it. I was zeichet to add to what my brother said. Kechol asher ani maroitcha, he brings the pasuk. God tells Moshe, everything that I show you on the mountain, the Mishkan, the Kelim, came tasu, so you should do it. I believe what he's saying here is the following. Take a look. We have a Parashas Yisro, Ten Commandments, unbelievable, one of the greatest Parashas in Torah. You have a Parashas Mishpatim, the laws, 53 great laws that are expressed in Mishpatim. Then, you know what happens? All of a sudden, Truma, Titzave, half of Kitiso, Vayakel, Pekude, Mishkan, 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 Mishkan. It's repeated at least 4 or 5 times, over and over and over again. Why all the repetition? What's it all about? We have to know what Moshe is commanded by God. How Moshe commands Bezalel and all the rest who are involved, what they are supposed to do. And then we're going to have another description of it as everything is brought and completed before Moshe. Then comes the day of the erection of the Mishkan, Vayasu, and they did what Moshe said. 18 times, I think it says, Vaya in Pekudei, and they did what Moshe, they did it, they built this, they built that, they put it all together. 5 parashos about Mishkan. Let's look at all of these parashos in the light of this Medrash. What would you say is the great idea that is encompassed in Parshas Yisro? The one time in history God comes down from the heavens to the top of the mountain. Do you know what emerges in all of its majesty from Parshas Yisro? Klal Yisrael is able to say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The idea of a God, creator of the world, who took us out of Egypt, our God, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. The pasuk that most defines Parshas Yisro is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Parshas Mishpatim. What is the underlying theme that all of the mitzvahs of Mishpatim are fueled by? What is it? The relationship between man and fellow man. We are haftol l'reyacho kamocha. The second pasuk. What is it that truma titzave kitisa vayakil pekude? What are they all about? Why all this construction of the Mishkan? What for? So you should bring a sacrifice in the morning and a sacrifice in the evening. You should teach Klal Yisrael that in order to remain faithful to Shema Yisrael and V'yahavta L'Reacha Kamocha, you will be called upon to make sacrifices, express your commitment every day, the morning and the evening, day in and day out. If you're ready for sacrifice and you're able to pass that on to your children, you've got a future. Klal Yisrael has a future. If God forbid you can't do that, it's all going to crumble. If you're going to be if you're going to be raising a me generation that is only interested in what's in it for me. What do I get out of it? No, then you're not going to have a clay soil. If you raise a generation, what can I do? What can I contribute? In what way can I help? And that's why the answer is pretty clear. I think about 2-3 months ago, I told you this study that was quoted in the Haaretz, where a study was made of tzedakah and volunteerism in the Jewish community in this country. Big shock. In the secular community, the level of volunteerism in tzedakah is at 29%. So the Eibush Derapid. In the Haredi community, 72%. In the Dati Leumi community, 77%. That means in the Haredi and the Dati Leumi community, the idea of that Akeves Echad Tasa Baboke, that Akeves Hasheni Tasa Beinu Arbayim, is being transmitted, whether it be Sheirut Leumi or the army or all the mostos tzedakah v'chesed of both the Haredi and the Dati Leumi community. That's as akeves ha'echad tase baboke v'et akeves ha'sheni tase bein arbayim. That's why the Shema Yisrael and the V'yahavtu Re'echa Kamocha are going to be able to survive. But if you don't have this readiness and willingness to give something up for what you believe, sad shape. All of the conferences and conventions and colloquiums and all of the rest, they have them who knows how many times a year. Jewish education. Everybody knows that the most successful Jewish education is Orthodox education. That's not a secret anymore. That's clear. Everybody knows it. But nobody's ready to adopt it. And that's why, so they come up with ideas like birthright. Like birthright. You know, bring kids free of charge over here to Eretz Yisrael. I'm not so sure that the experience is a terribly good experience. I've been picking up information from here and there that it's a pretty hot time over there for these boys and girls schlepping around Eretz Yisrael. I'm not so sure that it's such a great idea. I'm not so sure that there's a sufficient amount of supervision of all of these young people are coming here. And in 10 days of schlepping them around the country and showing them who knows what, I don't know. If you take them for 10 days someplace in America and teach them Bereshis Bore Elokim Es HaShemayim Ves Haaretz, you may be doing a lot better for them. That's the Medrash. The Medrash, therefore, is giving us a view of all of the parashiyot that we are dealing with. And this Medrash gives us an insight into what ultimately is successful Jewish education. Next. Number 4. This week's Sedra. Va'atot tzaveh b'nei Yisrael v'yikru elech Hashem en zayit zoch katit l'maor l'alot ne'tamid. You have to use oil in order to kindle the menorah. So, of course, everybody talks about the word va'atah. Va'atah. You. Who's you? You. Moshe. All right. So, of course, we have over here the Balaturim, famous Balaturim. From the time that Moshe appears on the scene in Parsha Shemos until the end of Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu's name appears in every parsha except one, Parshas Tetzaveh. In Parshas Tetzaveh, Moshe Rabbeinu is you. So you have to see where it's underlined over there. That's the Balaturim. Lo hizkir Moshe b'zeh ha-seder, ma she'en kein b'chol ha-chumash. Moshe's name is not mentioned in this seder, which is not so in all the rest of Chumash. Shemishosh she'nolad Moshe. From the time Moshe is born, ain't say the Shalohiskabar, there's no parsha in which he's not mentioned. Vatam? So the Balaturim says the reason is because in next week's Sedra, when Jews worship the eagle in Parsha Kitisa, God says, leave me be, and I will destroy them. So Moshe Rabbeinu says,
Forgive them, v'im ayin. And if not, mecheni no misifrecha asher katafta. Erase my name from the sefer that you wrote. I want nothing to do with Torah unless you forgive them. The killer as chacham. So the Baal Tum goes on to say that the curse of a chacham, even if it's conditional, because the end is that God forgave them, but in some sense it has to be fulfilled. His name is erased. It's erased from this week's sedra. This week's sedra. Miniskayim bazeh. All right. By the way, of course, many of them first you make the simple comment. Today is what? Day of Adar. Today is Zayin Adar. Zayin Adar is the yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu. The yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu always coincides with Parshas Tetzaveh. So that Parsha, in which his name is not mentioned, is the Parsha that is read on the week of his yahrzeit. Huh? All right? That's not all. That's not all. It's related to Purim as well. Number five is the Gemara in Megillah. Gemara in Megillah says, Hitil Pur Agoro, Haman threw lots. Tano, we learned, Kivin Shanofel Pur Bechodesh Adar, when Haman saw that the lot fell in the month of Adar, Somach Simcha Gedola, great joy. He's casting lots to decide on what day, on what month, and what day in the month he should destroy the entire Jewish people, men, women, and children, in all 127 states of the realm. And when it falls out on Zion Adar, ah, way, I tell you, Simcha Gedela, he must start singing Simin Tov or Mazel Tov. What are you talking about? That's the day. He rejoiced greatly. Omar, he said, Nafali Pur b'yerach shemeit b'Moshe, for he said, the lot fell for me on the month in which Moses died. He felt this indicated that it was an unlucky month for the Jews, and he therefore felt confident that he would prevail. But he didn't know. Shebishiva ba'odah meit Moshe, on the seventh of Adar Moshe died, ubishiva ba'odah nolad, and on the seventh he was born. We talked about this in the past, but I want to add a number of things over here. This Gemara has always been difficult. I mean, the Geisa Talmud Chuchim Haman Yenzden. How does he know that the month of Adar is the month in which Moshe Rabbeinu died? I mean, well, what did he have? He had some Chassidish Luach over there that gives you the yard sites every day of the year. So those people who don't say Tachnon should not say Tachnon on Zayin Adar. Well, obviously, you see, because it doesn't say in Torah clearly on the seventh of Adar Moshe died. You have to figure it out. You have to figure it out because Jews are going to cross the Jordan with Yehoshua on the 10th of Nisan. 3 days before that, on the 7th of Nisan, God says to him, Yehoshua, Avdi Moshe made, my servant Moshe is dead. Now the Avelus is over. Kum Avoras Hayarden, cross the Jordan. And Yehoshua announces, everybody should prepare themselves. In 3 days, we're crossing. When does God speak to Yehoshua? On the 7th. That's the end of the 30 days. All you do is you go back to Zayin Adar, you know, so you have to figure it out. Haman is not our Geisa Talmud Chuchim. Obviously, whoever was in charge of the Jewish desk of Haman's office, Dennis Ross, Echvei, somebody else, told him, hey, oh boy, you know what, that your lots fell out on? They came out on Zayin Adar, the day that Moshe, died. So I have another question. This Talmud Chuchim who was working for Haman must have known that it's also the day on which Moshe Rabbeinu was born. Now Rashi explains that God completes the years of tzaddikim. They die on the day of their birth. So it's not such a lucky sign for him. By the way, there's another problem. There's a beautiful Malbim. the Megillah says that the lots were from month to month, from day to day. That means, first, he starts going through the months of the year in order to arrive at which month is going to be the month of the destruction. It's amazing. This is all, you know, when he's throwing lots? He's throwing lots in the month of Nisan. Those parties of Esther, at which she invited Haman to, all of that took place the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th of Nisan. He threw lots on the 13th of Nisan, the day before every Pesach. You understand? All Jews are home cleaning up the house for Pesach, or packing to go away to their hotels someplace outside of Shushan, which is even more difficult. It's easier to clean the house. All right. Anyway, so he throws lots. So he starts first, the Malmo says he starts first by figuring out the month. Nisan? No. Now watch what happens. He keeps going through Iyar No, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, Elul, Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, Teves, Shvat. Do you understand what this poor Haman is going through? He's sweating bullets. Every month that he throws lots for, whatever silly lots he throws, the lot tells him no. He's pushing, popping valiums now because he's at the last month. Adar. If the lots or his crystal ball doesn't say yes, he doesn't have a month. Helft Rabbeinu Shalalam. Adar. Now, he's throwing lots for the days of the month. It's the 13th of Nisan. So he starts, which day of the month? So he starts 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th. The crystal ball says no. He comes to the end of the month, day 30, no good. So he starts 1, 2, 3. He gets to 12, he's gone through every day of the month except one, and the crystal ball says, no, it's not a good day. He's left with one day. Yud Gimel? Great, it works. All of his astrologers and everybody, yes, the 13th. You know what it really means? That what the Rebbeinu was doing here was a fascinating miracle. You know, I don't know, in Las Vegas that they'd have figured out what the chances are of something like this happening, but it comes out the last possible month and the last possible day. If I would have been Haman, Chas v'Shalom, if Arafat would have been Haman, he would have been sweating terribly. Nothing works until the last one. Which was really an indication that he's this does not augur well for him at all. But then finally, he has to find some way that Zion that the month is a significant month because it's the month in which Moshe Rabbeinu died. Doesn't he know that Moshe was born on that month? So I say the following: Haman knew. Now, I'm going to take you one step further. There's something wrong with this Gemara. The last line in the Gemara says, Shaloha Yodea, he didn't know that B'Zayin Ba'adar on the 7th of Adar, mate, U'B'Shiva Ba'adar Nolad, and the 7th of Adar he was born. Is that sentence correct? Shouldn't it have said that he didn't know that Moshe was born on the 7th of Adar and then died on the 7th of Adar? Birth usually comes before death. I don't think it's even possible to die until you're born. Right? What's the Gemara saying? He didn't know that the same, especially according to Rashi, that the important thing is that God
completes the years of tzaddikim. So the Gemara should have said he didn't know that Moshe was born on Zion Adar, and therefore when he dies on Zion Adar, God is fulfilling his years. So I say the following. And I remember this well because somebody started up with me once. What kind of chedushim are you saying? What are you talking about? And then there was somebody in the audience that said, Chassam Sofer says it. Baruch shekivanti l'dasa Chassam Sofer. He knew that Moshe was born on Zion Adar. He knew that Moshe died on Zion Adar. You know what he didn't know? He thought that death applies to Moshe and the Jewish people. The end of everything is death. You know what he didn't know? The secret of Jewish survival and existence. He didn't know that the Zion Ba'adar made Moshe on that seventh of Adar on which Moshe died. He was born for eternity. Sonei Yisrael always think you can destroy the Jewish people. Wipe them out. Ahmadi Jaman from Iran. The new Haman. And if you don't like the way I pronounced it, it's better than all the rest of them do it. They think that death applies to the Jewish people, but it doesn't apply. Because we are Am HaNetzach. We are an eternal people because we are inextricably intertwined with God. Haman knew that Moshe was born on the 7th of Adar. He knew that Moshe died on the 7th of Adar, but he thought that the definition of Moshe is his death. And it's all over. From that on, point on and further, it's all over. He didn't know that there's eternity. He didn't know that on that self-same 7th of Adar, the day on which Moshe Rabbeinu died, he was born for eternity. What are you talking about? Moshe emes v'toyrosei emes. You can say not only David Melech Yisrael chai v'kayim, Moshe is chai v'kayim. What are you talking about? This Sonei Yisrael Haman thinks that he can destroy the Jewish people. That the word death, like this is it, it's the end of the Jewish people, we just bury them, and history is going to go on. We're going to be around for a long time to aggravate the kishkis out of all the Amaleks. That's what the Gemara is saying. That's what the Gemara is saying. And one final thought. By Moshe Rabbeinu's name not appearing in Parshas Tetzaveh, I consider that the most important form of hesped, the finest hesped you can say on Moshe on his yahrzeit. The Shabbos of his yard site. And that is, he and his position in history, or at the time he lived, meant nothing. He was completely devoted to the Jewish people. He is ready to be erased from all of history because of them. He will give everything for Klal Yisrael. That's ultimate sacrifice. The self-sacrifice of Moshe Rabbeinu. Torah is telling us his name doesn't appear in this Sedra because he would have erased his name from all of history if that would have saved a fellow Jew. That's the great epitaph of Moshe Rabbeinu.